Good morning, everybody. Warm welcome to worship this morning. Or should I say a warm and windy welcome to worship? In fact, we came in, it was a warm, windy, wet welcome to worship this morning.
I'm such a wittery.
I was going to say I'm wittering on, so I'll stop there. This morning, of course, is our communion service. We'll be celebrating communion in a short while, but let's dive straight in and begin the way we always do, praising God with our first hymn this morning. Yes, we've got the projector. We've got a few technical issues with that thing this morning, but it's all there now. Hopefully it'll stay there. Our first hymn this morning is These Are the Days of Elijah. Transfiguration Sunday in the theological calendar, a time when we just remember the point in scripture where Jesus took three of his disciples and they went up to the mountaintop to pray, and the disciples fell asleep, and when they awoke, Jesus was transfigured, he was changed, his face had changed, he was shining brightly, and beside him appeared two of the prophets, Moses and Elijah, both of whom we've only just sang about right there. And they saw the glory of God shining from them. And we're going to sing two songs now. We're going to join them together just right the way through before we hand over to the minister. And the first one is Open Our Eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. And the second one is Change My Heart, O God. Because we come here to worship and fish and perhaps in communion Sunday. You know, we want our eyes to be opened. We want to be able to see Jesus in his glory. And of course, we want him to change us from the inside, to change our hearts, and perhaps for others to then be able to see Jesus shine from us. So open our eyes, Lord, then change my heart. Now, they don't sit particularly easily together, but we'll make it work. First one's quite a slow one, and then we can raise the tempo a little bit for the second one. Thank you.
Father, we thank you for bringing us together in this place at this time, and we come to be fed and to be renewed and to seek understanding. Oh God, you challenge us in this place to embrace the challenge, trusting that through challenge we grow in faith. And our God, you are revealed in this place, sometimes in shining glory, sometimes in tears and in struggle. Our God, as we worship in this place, refresh and renew and challenge us so that we would see your awesomeness. This we pray in Jesus' name as we strive to walk the path of discipleship. Amen. Well, as Graham has already said, this is the last Sunday in the season of Epiphany. And next week, in fact, just on Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, it's the start of Lent. And we go through these six Sundays of Lent, journeying towards Easter. And then, as we did last year on Resurrection Day, we'll come together for the 11 o'clock service across the road in the St. Michael's building. But there's lots going on before that. And one thing to draw to your attention this week is the Cash for Teeth voting process, which is starting. And we've got an application in for renewed funding for the community cafe, which we were running in the halls during the summer holidays and Easter holidays and October holidays, and then the rest of the time down at Logos. And we're hoping to run it all the time up here on a Wednesday morning from the end of this month. And to enable the funding to come in for that, we need as many people as possible to choose Cafe Connections or Creed Connections Cafe, whatever they call it, on the ballot paper. We need you to choose that as one of your voting options. And the organisations, the events, the things going on with the most votes will get the funding. So it's quite a straightforward process. Except the voting doesn't open till tomorrow, and they've not given us the voting code, because you can vote online, but we don't get that voting code till tomorrow. So we'll stick that on Twitter and Facebook and the church website, and we'll intimate it next Sunday as well. The voting is from 9 o'clock tomorrow morning and runs right through till midnight on Friday, the 15th of March. So we hope that you'll vote. Everybody over the age of 9 can vote. So if you have children or grandchildren over the age of 9, you can vote as well. Caleb's cheering at the back there because you're over 9. So that's voting. And that'll help us to pay some money towards the use of the hall here as well. And it'll benefit us as a church. So there's a whole lot of different things planned for that cafe. A whole lot of people, agencies wanting to come in to be there week by week to share advice for folks in Crieff. And so we hope that you'll vote for it and then come along and support the cafe. There's other things going on this week as well, and they're on the bulletin sheet here, and I do commend that to you. And you can take that home and pray over these things as the week goes on. Let's read God's word. And our first reading this morning is taken from the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 34. And it says, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the covenant law in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them. So Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him and he spoke to them. And afterwards, all the Israelites came near him, and he gave them all the commands the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, they saw that his face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went to speak with the Lord. That ends the first of our readings. And I think we'll sing the hymn, Beauty for Brokenness.
From cruel wars, havens from fear, touches for faith. until your justice burns brightly again. Until the nations learn of your ways, seek your salvation and bring you a praise. God of the good, friend of the weak, give us compassion, we pray. Melt our cold hearts, let tears fall like rain. Come change our love from a spark to a flame.
In the Gospel of Luke, Luke tells us of Jesus gathering the 12 disciples and giving them power and authority to drive out demons and cure diseases, and then commissioning them to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Word and action going together. And then in one of the stories of the miraculous feedings of thousands of people, Jesus himself speaks to the crowds about the kingdom of God, and then he himself heals those who needed healing. Word and actions going together. And another time, as they were praying together, he asked the disciples, "Who do the crowd say I am?" And they answered, "Some say John the Baptist, come back. Others Elijah. Others one of the prophets of long ago." And then, challenging them directly, Peter blurts out, "You are God's Messiah." And then Jesus, predicting his death, says to the disciples that whoever wants to be his disciple must deny themselves and take up the cross daily and follow him. Word and action going together. So Luke continues, about 8 days after this, Jesus took Peter, James and John with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. And they spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and didn't tell anyone at that time what they had seen. The next day, when they came down from the mountain, a large crowd met him. A man in the crowd called out, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, for he's my only child." A spirit seizes him and he suddenly screams. He throws him into convulsions so that he foams at the mouth. It scarcely ever leaves him and is destroying him. "I begged your disciples to drive it out, but they could not." "You unbelieving and perverse generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you and put up with you? Bring your son here." Even while the boy was coming, the demon threw him to the ground in a convulsion. But Jesus rebuked the impure spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And they were all amazed at the greatness of God. Word and action going together. I've brought along something to help us to think about these passages that we've been reading. And I'm going to show it to you just in a minute. Here we are. Here's what I brought to show you. You see what it is? You know what it is. You see what it is? You see yourself? How do you look? Quite hard to see, isn't it? Quite hard to see like that. If I was to do this, what, behind the mirror? You see that?
things. It's just a very little light. But it's perhaps easier to see the light than it is to see the rest of the mirror. And today we're thinking about the glory that came upon Jesus. And we're thinking about the glory that came upon Moses. And Moses, when he was with the people, had to wear a veil. And when he was with God, he took the veil away. And when you take the veil away, can you see better? Yeah, you can see better.
There's a passage in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, and it says, all of us with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. I suppose my question this morning is, how do we reflect the glory of God? And how can God transform us together? The recently canonized former Roman Catholic Archbishop of San Salvador, a man who was assassinated a number of years ago, wrote this. When we leave worship, we ought to go out the way Moses descended Mount Sinai, with his face shining, with his heart brave and strong, to face the world's difficulties. And that was certainly the challenge that was presented on Friday evening through the act of worship prepared by Christian women of Slovenia for the World Day of Prayer. It was a shame that more of us were not able to be there to share that service, because it was excellent. Their challenge to the worldwide church was for a faith that expresses itself in actions, action that transfigures the lives of people all around us, that the glory of God might be seen in us and in them. And so they brought prayers that people might have enough to eat, prayers that people might have access to health care and social security, prayers for free education and for the possibility of students travelling abroad to study, prayers that education would be translated into jobs, and that families might find support, that the elderly might be cared for, that the generations might be brought together. Prayers for justice and inclusion, for refugees and migrants, that they would be sustained, that Christian people would be in the vanguard of caring for their communities, and that Jesus would be at the center of all that we do. Word and action going together. Or again, just last night, when some people from the churches got together to enjoy a pancake supper and to raise nearly £400 to support the CAP debt project, which the churches in Crieff have committed to running. It's not enough to say that we care, or even to pray that we care. We also have to show that we care in the things that we do to reach others with the transforming power of the gospel. CAP, for instance, has an astonishing record of helping people become debt-free, and through the support of someone from the local church, bringing people to faith and salvation in Jesus Christ. Word and action must go together to help the most desperate in our communities, and through that we earn the right to share the good news of Jesus. And the real danger for us in the church in Scotland is that if we're not relevant in people's lives, if we're not following the clear leading of the Spirit, then God will simply move on to another people who will listen to his words and who will respond with their actions. You see, the people of Israel were the people God loved the most, and God expected that love to be returned to him and extended to the nations around them. And yet they broke that relationship, and instead of listening to God and doing things God's way, they shut their ears. And their actions became more about them and their own survival than anyone else. And certainly more than more them than God. And if Frank Sinatra had been among them at that time, they would have all sung along to the chorus, "I did it my way." Because he did do it their way, and the results were disastrous. A whole generation, with the exception of Joshua and Caleb, never entered the promised land. Perhaps one of the reasons for the decline in the Church of Scotland, and right, let's bring it right home, part of the reason for the decline of the church here in Crieff is that sometimes we are so busy doing church our way instead of being the church God's way. A few minutes ago we sang the hymn "Beauty for Brokenness," and at the end of the chorus we sang the words, "Come change our love from a spark to a flame." But how? How does that spark reignite into flame? Well, let me suggest that it's by listening to God's word and then by putting God's word into action. We recapture the glory by coming closer to the Lord. And how do we become close? How do we come closer to the Lord? Well, yes, it's by reading our Bibles, reading God's word, listening to what he says in it. It's through prayer. It's through worship, both private and corporate, doing all these things on our own, but doing it together as well. But it's also by going out of our way to reach and help other people, people who are like us, but also, and perhaps especially, people who are not like us, people who perhaps we might think might not fit with the things we do as a fellowship. God wants them brought in just as he wanted the nations brought in to the blessing that he gave his people, Israel. At the World Day of Prayer service, we were reminded of the parable of the banquet, that fantastic meal to which many guests had been invited, and it took time to prepare it. But when the time for the banquet came and everything was prepared, they all made their excuses why they could not come. And so instead were invited the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. And still there was room. And so the master said to his servant, "Go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in, so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet." That bringing others in is an act of transfiguration. It's what changes lives and what changes communities and what changes nations. It's transfiguration. In the cloud on the mountaintop, free from all the other distractions, when the voice of God spoke, Peter, James and John were forced to listen and to pray. But we go on to read that the other disciples who were not at that moment so close with Jesus, who were distracted and I suppose more focused on themselves, just like the Israelites at the foot of Mount Sinai, they could not heal the son who was brought to them. And the son who was then brought to Jesus from among the crowd at the foot of the mountain. And Jesus did not mince his words in expressing his frustration. The disciples who could not heal the boy teach us that being present is not enough. Knowing the needs of the people we encounter is not enough. We must do more than look around us for God's glory to shine in others or in some outward provision. We ourselves must be close to the Lord so that we are the light and so that we seek to spread God's glory among the people as we meet them, wherever they are and however they are in need. The transfiguration of Jesus need not be left for the mountaintop experience. The scripture tells us that we are to bring the transfiguration to all the people. Let's pray. O God, we open our eyes and we see Jesus. The months of ministry transfigured to a beam of light, the light of the world, your light. May your light shine upon us. We open our eyes and we see Moses and Elijah
Your word restoring us, showing us the way, telling us a story, your story, his story, our story. May your word speak to us. We open our eyes and we see mist, the cloud of your presence, which assures us of all we do not know and that we do not need to fear that. Teach us to trust. We open our eyes and we see Peter's constructions, his best plans, our best plans, our missing the point, our missing the way. Forgive our foolishness and our sin. We open our eyes and we see Jesus not casting us off, but leading us down, leading us out to ministry, to people. Your love endures forever. We open our ears and we hear your voice. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. And we give you thanks. Amen. We sing and we make our offering. The hymn is Behold the Lamb.
To remember our call.
follow in the steps of Christ as his body here on earth. And so
God, you are the one who invites us. You bring us to the same table and lead us in the path of life and hope. We are important in your eyes, and you have called us by name. And so, as your beloved children, we dare to pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory for ever. Amen.
Jesus said, I am the bread of life, and whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. This is the table of the Lord, and he invites all who love him to sit with him and to share in this joyful feast. And we're here because Jesus has invited us. When he was on earth, he often enjoyed meals with his friends, and on the night before he died, when the darkness was beginning to fall on the city of Jerusalem, he sat in that upper room with his disciples. And at this Last Supper, he broke bread and took wine, and he told his disciples to remember him by following his example. And today you and I are his disciples, and we're glad to do what he has told us. And so as the Lord Jesus took bread and wine, so I take this bread and wine on the table here to be set apart for this holy use. And as Jesus gave thanks, let us also give our thanks and our praise. Our God, it is our deepest joy to give our thanks and our praise. And we do that because you are loving and just. And you treat all people with fairness. You are God, and in the way you act towards us, you challenge us to do the same. You care for all your people, even those who feel unfit or unloved or unlovable. And when we feel that we or others don't deserve even your leftovers, then you invite us to a feast. And now we give thanks for the glory of Christ revealed on the mountain when he spoke of his death, when he confronted his cross, when he was transfigured before his disciples, that by the same cross we may be changed into his likeness from glory to glory. And so with your faithful people in all times and places, we praise your name in the words of their unending hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Even when the world rejected Jesus on the very night he was betrayed, he continued to feed others. He sat with his friends and took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. And after supper he took a cup of wine and offered you thanks and gave it to the disciples, saying, this is my blood of the new covenant poured out for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you share the cup, remember me. And so, gracious God, your church in all times and places continues to share this meal, remembering how much you love us.
And we ask that you would send your Holy Spirit upon this meal and upon us, that we may be fed by your love and your word, and that we may go from this place refreshed and renewed by your Spirit to put your words into action. Amen. Well, we know that the Lord Jesus at that meal took bread, and when he'd given thanks to God, he broke it and he said, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this to remember me." In the same way, when the meal was coming to its end, he took some of the leftover wine and he said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood. Drink from it, all of you." And so we are invited to taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are they who find refuge in him. As the bread and wine are distributed, I invite you to pass it to your neighbours. The words, "This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you." When Jesus rose from the dead, he came among his friends. He stood there and he showed them his hands and his side and he said, "Peace be with you." In his name and risen presence, I say, the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. You might turn to the folks either side and wish them the peace of God. With the peace of God in our midst, let us join our hearts in prayer. God our Father, this is a strange time of year. We linger between the seasons of Epiphany and Lent, and we are between the joy of your appearing and the horror of your undoing at the hands of those who would not or could not embrace your way of life. Perhaps we, like Peter, John and James, wait for your appearing in dazzling light and unmistakable clarity, for we are in need of a glimpse of Jesus, who is the way through the mix and mess of this life. Our planet is fragile, and so is the life that claims it as home. And we wonder how long we can simply take what we want with little regard for what it costs your creation. We wonder if the planet is crying out for relief in the floods that are really tears, the earthquakes that try to shake our consciousness, the gales that blow sighs too deep for words. Renew and restore a vision of care for your creation. Remind us to take what we need and no more. Encourage us in a countercultural faithfulness that is not about consumerism. Spur us with new insight and deeper understanding that we may live mindfully each day, conscious of the impact of what we do and what we fail to do. We pray for the people of the world whose names we will never know, whose faces flash across the TV screen in anonymity born of numbers, those who bear the weight of the earth's pain. We are in need of a glimpse of Jesus, who is the truth that love is stronger than hate, peace is possible, and life can emerge even in the midst of devastation. We pray for that truth to be known. And we are in need of a glimpse of Jesus, who is the life, inviting us to follow in his footsteps as he trod the way of love and justice, inviting us to follow him in prayer as he lived out his faith and made you known. We give thanks for the good news that unfolds in the world as people dream your dreams and follow your nudging and seek you in the faces they meet each day. Perhaps, O God, it is the only transfiguration we really need. For all those who are a quiet witness to your love and your way of life, we give thanks, O God. Draw us to the rhythm of Lent as it unfolds in our midst, a sacred invitation to explore the corners of our soul. Open us to your light that we might see ourselves clearly with all our fears and faults and faith, with all our desires and dreams and duties. Help us to see our journey as a place of your appearing, that like Peter, John and James, we may come down from the mountain and set one foot in front of the other in your name and for your sake. Amen. We close our worship time in the song, Holy, Holy, Holy is the Lord.
Yeah.
coming week, may you experience the presence of God with joy. May the holy cloud comfort you. May the divine voice encourage you. May the power of the Spirit transform you, transform us, transform our world. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and those whose lives you touch, now and always. Amen.